Blog Talk Radio.
Cowards try to change our lives, change the things they despise in America. But heroes, fueled by freedom, that unalienable right to be, came to rescue the injured, rescue the innocent, rescue these truths we hold to be.
Jason Hawes here on this second day of April, April 2nd, 2016, on American Faith Today. Glad to have you, whether you're out there listening live or will jump in and start listening live, or whether you happen to catch the show on the archives afterwards, whenever that is convenient for you. I hope you've had a terrific week. Hope you've had a terrific couple of weeks, actually. I missed doing a show last weekend, and the reason for that is actually quite simple. You can probably figure it out without me even telling you, in all likelihood. But last weekend was actually, of course, a holiday weekend. And for those of you who maybe are some deep Bible study students and who have had the great fortune and the great blessing of receiving some great Bible teaching from Shepherd's Chapel or whoever else, perhaps, that don't really necessarily celebrate Easter or recognize the holiday or call the holiday Easter or Ishtar and go about rolling Easter eggs and looking for bunnies and so forth, or I should say actually looking for Easter eggs and throwing bunnies into the mix, however you want to say it, those of you who focus on our fathers, our Heavenly Father's holiday and our Heavenly Father's feast day and feast time of Passover rather than Easter, that, of course, is completely understandable and completely right in my eyes, and certainly I believe in God's eyes. But nevertheless, we did have this holiday that most Christians, as it is, do recognize and do call Easter that occurred on last Sunday. And with that said, normally I'm working on Sundays, and since it was a holiday weekend, as mentioned, though, our store was closed on Sunday, and I was asked, kind of at the last minute as well, I was asked on Friday if I actually wanted to work Saturday, since I would be missing out on work on Sunday, and I gave it some thought, and knowing myself and knowing that if there's an opportunity to make some money, which is always either wanted or quite honestly, more often than not, needed, it certainly comes in handy to pay bills and do other things with. But if there's an opportunity to make some money, especially if I was going to be losing some money, otherwise, if there's an opportunity to make some money without terribly inconveniencing myself, then certainly I'm usually very game and very willing to do that. And so I did actually work on Saturday last weekend from 10 a.m. until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I got home about, I don't remember what time I got home, probably because I did something immediately afterwards, probably got home about 3:30, 4 o'clock. So really no time to put a show together. And then on Sunday, which again, most Christians and most people in the country were celebrating as Easter, my family did have, as far as my mom and dad and my aunt and uncle and myself, we did have a lunch get-together on Sunday of last week at Bob Evans here in town. And then afterwards, I actually have a part-time job as well that I typically work on Friday nights and Sunday afternoons, and I went and did that a little bit earlier on Sunday afternoon. So just a extremely busy weekend for me last weekend for the reasons mentioned, and happy to be back here today doing a show. And once again, if you are out there listening live, the chat room is open, and the call-in number, if you want to call in at any point, is 347-989-8387. That's for you who may be listening live. I certainly have a subject that I really, really want to get into today when it comes to what we will have erected, so to speak, in New York City and in London, England this month. I believe it looks like on April 19th is when these there are actually 3D printed images, replicas of these temples, or the entranceway, the gateway to these temples will be in sight for people to look upon on, again, I believe April 19th. But before I get to the main purpose and the main subject of today's show, I did want to get a little bit into this political infighting and this political battle that we now have, and we've had it, obviously, and look, it's a primary season. It's a season in which it's a time during the election in which on both sides, and it's certainly been a very long and arduous process on the Republican side of things. When we started out with 17 candidates initially running for president, and now we're down to the final three. And for all intents and purposes, the final two, because even though John Kasich is the governor of my state of Ohio, he's really not a factor in the presidential race unless they do something funky and funny at the GOP convention this summer. But we've had, you know, everybody I think has made, obviously, including me, has made their preferences as far as who they are supporting or who they're not supporting very well known, for the most part, I think. And certainly if you listen to this show on a regular basis or if you've caught it at particular times, then you know that I am somebody who is very much, you might say, in the Never Trump movement. I can't support the man. I cannot support the man for president. He hasn't earned my vote. And everything that he's said and done, everything that I believe that he is, he would not be getting my vote in November. That's not something that I feel like I can do as a Christian or as a conservative. And, I'm not going to get into it too much with that or elaborate on that. Certainly, I suppose I have in the past. But in criticizing him, I would hope that I've tried to make it completely on what I think of how he would, the policies that he would enact, the way that he would go about doing his business, if you will, in the office, excuse me, of the presidency. I haven't tried to make it personal, I've tried not to make it personal. And this race at this point has just become so very ugly. You know, we've had fighting and we've had squabbles at times between the candidates themselves or amongst the candidates. And certainly it is an election, as people have said, on the Republican side, where there is a lot of passion. You've got a lot of people out there who are very passionate about Donald Trump. You have a lot of people out there who are very passionate about Ted Cruz. But what I'm seeing and what I try to tell people, what I try to do myself to kind of take the lead and to set an example for other people and again for myself, is to stay out of the muckraking, out of the gutter, out of the passing around rumors and speculation and the politics that, quite frankly, and I'm sorry if you lean a little bit liberal and you happen to be listening or you happen to catch this, but the politics of character assassination and personal destruction that, quite frankly, belong more in the on the Democrat side or on the liberal side than they do on our side. You know, and you can go through the timeline, and you've got Donald Trump reacting to an ad put out by an anti-Trump PAC that showed when his wife Melania did a photo shoot and a photo spread for GQ, which upset Donald Trump, which led to him threatening Ted Cruz and telling Ted Cruz to knock it off or he'd spill the beans on his wife. You know, and whatever that was supposed to mean, which then led to Donald Trump retweeting a picture basically mocking the appearance, in that particular picture anyway, of Heidi Cruz. And then we get to the National Enquirer, ooh, big-time expose, in which apparently Ted Cruz may have had five mistresses. And then it gets to, we're going to smear Amanda Carpenter and Donald Trump's social media director or social media person absolutely attacking and smearing Amanda Carpenter on Twitter. And you've got people, you know, I saw one of the things that was just passed around on a Facebook page that I happened to participate in that group. It's the Free Republic Facebook page, Free Republic Facebook group. That somebody just copied a claim that nobody had any evidence of, nobody had any verification for, nobody had anything to back up their claim that in 2011 and 2012, Heidi Cruz filed for divorce from Ted Cruz, citing infidelity. And it was a Facebook post from somebody saying, oh, yes, I've gone through the court documents, or somebody's gone through the court documents. They didn't provide any evidence of it whatsoever to back it up. And then they went through the routine list of how Heidi Cruz was with the CFR, how Heidi Cruz wrote a paper on the North American Union, how Heidi Cruz worked for Goldman Sachs, all of those things which are true or were true in some fashion or another. But it was a hit piece. It was a smear job with no evidence to back it up whatsoever, that people are gleefully, if they love Donald Trump and they hate Ted Cruz, people are gleefully passing along to try to destroy Ted Cruz. And I'll say this, even as a non-Trump person, it goes both ways. I saw at a different site that I happen to enjoy reading, a different blog that I happen to enjoy reading and commenting on and interacting with people. Someone threw out there today that Donald Trump owns or is somehow affiliated with an escort service. There's no evidence of it whatsoever. They said something about TrumpEscorts.com, and I did put that in my web browser. It brought up something called Mystique Companions, which is an escort service. And scanning the website, it had there was no evidence whatsoever that Donald Trump was affiliated with it or ran it or owned it or anything. I mean, he might not, but it's unsubstantiated rumor. It's gossip. And, you know, it's something that we need to stop doing. I'm certainly going to make sure that I don't do it. I would encourage you, and I would hope that the people who would listen to my show, I would hope that none of you are doing that anyway. I trust that you're not. But I would encourage you not to do it. I would encourage you to try to convince or encourage other people not to do it. To just flat out try to destroy people personally by passing around gossip. It's not something that a Christian or even a decent person should be doing. We've got a lot of things that we can vet and that we can analyze and that we can make decisions about these candidates on without trying to destroy them and without trying to destroy their families. It's one of the things that people really need to back off of. But anyway, on to the meat of today's show. And the meat of today's show is something that when I saw it, it was something that was greatly offensive. It was something that, was it surprising? Yeah, it was surprising, although there's not a lot during these times and during these days that actually is surprising. It actually fits in to the times that we're living in as somebody who believes that we're in the last days, that we are in the last generation, that there will be a time probably not too far off in which we will see a one-world system, a fully functioning one-world system for at least a time, and in which we will see Antichrist, which I believe is none other than Satan playing that role. But we will see Antichrist make his way onto the scene, and we'll see most of the world, including, sadly, most of the Christian world, whoring after none other than Satan himself in that role of Antichrist. But I saw a story, and it's been all over the internet, and you can find it. I posted it on the American Faith Today Facebook page. I shared it at various sites, including the Free Republic site, including different Shepherd's Chapel-affiliated Facebook pages. I shared it at a Facebook page of somebody who I met online many years ago at Border Cross on Facebook. I shared it over there. I don't remember where all I shared it, but certainly at those places. And as it turns out, the background on this, let me back up. The background on this is in August of 2015, August of last year, in Syria, in Palmyra, Syria, ISIS apparently destroyed an ancient site or the remains of an ancient site, which was a temple or the remains of a temple to Baal. And Baal was and there's been many names associated with Baal, but basically he was a pagan or a heathen god, a god of heathen peoples, if you will. He was basically regarded as a fertility and an agricultural god. But they destroyed this temple of Baal, or the remains of this temple of Baal, which was an ancient landmark, in August of last year. And I'll add that ISIS, of course, has destroyed many Christian sites and many ancient Christian churches, monasteries. They destroyed, I believe it was a Christian, they desecrated a Christian cemetery or Christian tombstones. And they have, of course, literally murdered Christian upon Christian upon Christian, even crucifying, in some cases, Christians over in that part of the world. And naturally, we won't lift a finger to oppose that, not specifically anyway. All we're fighting ISIS, if you want to call it that. I wouldn't even call it that by any means. But we won't specifically stand up for or to protect or to fight back against the slaughter of Christians by ISIS in Iraq and Syria and the Middle East. And you know, we've got John Kerry, who finally did say, yes, it's a genocide against Christians. We have our Congress, who in a rare state and a rare occasion of bipartisanship actually did say that, yes, it is a genocide. They passed their little resolution saying that, yes, they are committing genocide against Christians in the Middle East, ISIS is. But, you know, where has been the actions against that? But let them destroy this temple to Baal, or the remains of this temple to Baal, and it's all the horror. And look, I'm not anti-history. I'm not anti-landmark. But where are our priorities? Where are the priorities of people who call themselves Christian? And, you know, I'm certainly not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip, certainly not trying to call anybody out. And anyone who happens to listen to this show, probably more than likely, I'm going to guess, you agree with me. And so I'm certainly not calling you out. But anyway, they destroyed the remains of this temple to Baal. And now what we have is we have this organization that is called, I had them right here, the Institute for Digital Archaeology, that has decided that we won't make a stand. We as a country, we as a people, we as a free world, we as Christian nations, we won't make a stand against the destruction of Christian landmarks. We won't make a stand against the destruction of or the murder of Christians. Not really, anyway. But we'll make our stand against the destruction of this temple to Baal. And again, imagine if they wanted to do this and they wanted to erect a 3D image of a cross. You know, the ACLU would be all over it. Freedom from Religion Foundation would be all over it. The secularist would be all over it. The humanist would be all over it. But this, I'll read here from CBN.com. Sign of the Times, Temple of Baal, to go up in New York and in London. A reproduction of the Temple of Baal, this again from CBN.com, a reproduction of the Temple of Baal is coming to New York's Times Square. Well, this says next month. It's actually now. It'll be this month. As a tribute to the 2,000-year-old original structure that was destroyed by ISIS last year in Palmyra, Syria. The reproductions will be made using a 3D printer producing a life-size model of the temple's entrance. Officials say those models will be installed in both New York City and London's Trafalgar Square this spring. And I've actually seen that they actually, again, let me get the name here. This Institute for Digital Archaeology, these people actually, I saw reference one place, want to create 1,000 of these temple entrances, replicas of these temple entrances around the world. Now, many, as it says here at CBN, are speaking out against putting up a monument in honor of a temple that promoted worship of a false god. In an article for WorldNet Daily, Matt Barber explains some of the elements of Baal worship. And this is historically what they would do, some of a large part of what they would do when it came to worshiping Baal. Barber writes, ritualistic Baal worship in some looked a lot like this. Adults would gather around the altar of Baal. Infants would then be burned alive as a sacrificial offering to the deity. Amid horrific screams and the stench of charred human flesh, congregants, men and women alike, would engage in bisexual orgies. Sounds like a nice little religion, doesn't it? And by the way, Baal was connected, and an offshoot of the name of Baal was Moloch, which you might hear a lot of people talking about Moloch worship and passing your children through the fire to Moloch, which God said never entered into his mind and in which he condemned. Barber went on to write, "The ritual of convenience was intended to produce economic prosperity by prompting Baal to bring rain for the fertility of Mother Earth." Barber then goes on to point out how some of these elements are being mirrored in society today. Modern liberalism deviates little from its ancient predecessor. While its macabre rituals have been sanitized with flowery and euphemistic terms of art, its core tenets and practices remain eerily similar, he said. Bar the worship of fertility has been replaced with worship of reproductive freedom or choice. Child sacrifice via burnt offering has been updated ever so slightly to become child sacrifice by way of abortion, Barbara concluded. But supporters of the reproductions to go up in New York and London say it is an attempt to preserve history. The original temple attracted 150,000 tourists a year until 2011, when the Syrian civil war began. And again, they're claiming that this is something to preserve history, to honor history, to send a message to ISIS that we won't be bullied, that we won't be in fear, that you're not going to destroy our precious temple of Baal. Now, the timing of this is interesting as well. And I could read a little bit more on this. Actually, I will get a little bit more into Baal. Baal, again, he was a Babylonian, Mesopotamian, Canaanite god, heathen god. He was a agricultural and a fertility male god. The female version was Ashtaroth or Astarte or Ishtar, appropriately enough, when we consider Easter. He was also called Bel, Bel, B-E-L, or Baal. The original so-called god apparently can be traced back to the ancient Babylonian so-called god, Marduk. Marduk referred to or was considered a hunter god that was believed to have been the founder of ancient Babylon, and I will add that we are coming up on a time of spiritual Babylon here and going into captivity to spiritual Babylon. So, again, it does fit right in with the times that we're now living in and times that are still, I believe, quite soon to come. But also it talked a little bit about how you had Nimrod, who, of course, was the primary character who constructed the Tower of Babel, who was referred to as a mighty hunter before the Lord. Some people, of course, worshipped this Nimrod. Some people considered Nimrod and his mother to be gods in and of themselves. And you have Nimrod that may have been connected with Marduk as well. I will add that who is Baal when it comes down to it? And there's a lot of offshoots, but you also have an offshoot of Baal was Baal Elzebub or Beelzebub, referred to as the Lord of the Flies, that the Pharisees accused Jesus Christ of casting out demons, not by God's power, but by the prince of devils or the prince of demons, who they called Beelzebub, which is none other than Satan himself. So Baal worship is Satan worship. Even Beelzebub is actually thought to be derived from Baalzebub, which meant Lord of the High or Lord of the Exalted Places. And certainly Satan magnified and exalted himself in his own heart and in his own mind, and still does today. But again, the timing of this is very interesting, and I don't think it's all that coincidental either. This was brought up by Michael Snyder, who I often refer to for his economic commentary, actually. But he does some other things as well. He's a Christian. And he writes this from prophecynewswatch.com. They picked up this article, this piece from Michael Snyder, and it's made its way around various parts of the internet. But he writes, April 19th, Temple of Baal in New York is going up on significant day. April 19th is the first day of the 13-day satanic ritual day relating to fire. The fire god Baal or Moloch slash Nimrod, the sun god, also known as the Roman god Saturn, which also Saturn, Satan, enough said. This day is a major human sacrifice day, demanding fire sacrifice with an emphasis on children. This day of April 19th, which, by the way, is the day that these are supposed to go up in New York City and in London, England. This day is one of the most important human sacrifice days, and as such, has had some very important historic events occur on the day. Now, that's captioned from a different website. But again, they're planning to put these things up on April 19th, which is when this occult festival, this pagan festival, related to the worship of Baal begins. And it's actually, as well, a Wiccan festival known as Beltane, the blood sacrifice to the beast, culminates on the high occult holy day of Beltane on May 1st. In some parts of the world, Beltane is much better known as May Day, and it has been described as the Illuminati's second most sacred holiday. April 19th is also known as the Feast of Moloch. Moloch, the ancient Canaanite god that is repeatedly denounced in the Old Testament, child sacrifice, again, passing their children through the fire, was a key feature of the worship of Moloch. And a giant statue of this pagan deity, it is set up at the Bohemian Grove in Northern California every year. And certainly don't want to go into Alex Jones territory on you, but it is what it is. And apparently they do have this statue of Moloch set up at this Bohemian Grove where they meet, again, I believe, every year. But anyway, this Institute for Digital Archaeology, again, real good guys. You know, real innocent, isn't it? Recreating temples of Baal during the time of, I don't even want to call it a high holy day because it's an unholy day, an evil day, during this time of this blood sacrifice to the beast, this Feast of Moloch, and which it all starts on April 19th, which is when they're going to put up these recreations, these gateways to these temples of Baal. I don't think it's coincidental. I really don't. And, Michael Snyder points that out, I think, very well here. And, again, we don't want to get conspiracy theory, but the dates are actually pretty amazing when you consider around this time of year and recent years. On April 19th, 1993, that's when we had the Waco Massacre. On April 19th, 1995, that's when we had the Oklahoma City bombing. On April 20th, 1999, that's when we had the Columbine Massacre. On April 16th, same basic time, 2007, that's when we had the Virginia Tech Massacre. On April 16th, 2013, that's when we had the Boston Marathon explosions. And Tamerlan Tsarnaev shot to death on April 19th. Of 2013. So you've got a lot going on in, if you want to call it, the Illuminati or the Kenites world and the heathenistic, the pagan, the Satanistic world around April 19th, give or take a few days. Snyder goes on to say 2016 is a leap year. April 20th will be the 111th day of the year, and triple numbers are considered to be, quote, power dates in the occult world. And again, he goes on to talk about this feast or this ceremony of Beltane that will be coming about on May 1st, on May Day, which, is almost a perversion. We start to think of Passover as kind of the spring equinox, and then we have 14 days later, 2 weeks later, we have Passover. Well, here we have this day of, we'll say, April 19th, give or take. And then 13 days later, again, about 3 weeks later, or excuse me, about 2 weeks later, we have this sacrifice to the beast, blood sacrifice to the beast, Feast of Moloch, on May 1st, on May Day, which basically in the pagan world and the occult world, you can say in the Wiccan world, but it really doesn't matter. Their two main holidays, it seems, are Halloween, which they call the feast or the day of Samhain, and also you have May Day or the Feast of Moloch on May 1st. And all of this, again, leading up as we recreate, as we reproduce these temples of Baal on April 19th, all of this, again, not coincidental, in my opinion. You know, I don't think that God finds any of this humorous. I don't think that he finds any of it cute. And it is so sad that you do have a lot of people running this way, running that way, running to this church, running to that church, running to this doctrine, to that doctrine, running to this presidential candidate, to that presidential candidate, looking for answers, looking to find someone to solve problems, something to solve problems, something to give comfort, something to work out some form of salvation for them. And turning and looking in every direction instead of looking to their own heavenly fathers, outstretched, loving, saving arms, figuratively speaking, but also literally speaking. Instead of looking at this time of the year, and this weekend, which to knowledgeable Christians, this weekend is Passover weekend. Instead of looking at the Passover lamb, the lamb slain, the one who paid the price for each and every one of us, for you, for me, for whomsoever will. And people would rather turn to Moloch or to Baal or even to looking to a man for their country's salvation or for their personal salvation or however you want to look at it. It's sad. It really is sad. And you know what? This whole thing of recreating these temples of Baal, it is utter foolishness. And by the way, if you want to know what God thinks of honoring Baal and Baal worship, I just want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 11. We're going to finish up here in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 11, I'm going to go with, we'll start with verse 10, actually verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, speaking to Jeremiah, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, at the time, writing of Jeremiah, that's, of course, where all this was centered on, was Judah and Jerusalem. But God is saying that a conspiracy is found amongst my people to turn my people away from me and into idolatry. Verse 10, and they are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Verse 11, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them. They bring it upon themselves. Okay, it's not that God brings it upon them. They bring it upon themselves, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Verse 12. Then shall the cities of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense. Cry to your little Baal. Cry to your little Ishtar. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. How can they? They're not even real. Verse 13, for according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah. You've got them all over the place. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars that burn incense unto Baal. Verse 14, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Now, that's the ones who go that road, okay? That's the ones who go off into Baal worship, who go off into Satan worship, Antichrist worship, idolatry, spiritual adultery. If you stick with him, it doesn't apply to you. I'm going to skip ahead a couple verses to verse 17. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal, setting up your temple, setting up your altars, you know, worshiping something that can't even save you, that can't deliver you out of any trouble, can only lead you right into trouble with God himself. You know, if you skip ahead to, or if you go to the next chapter, chapter 12, you'll find that even with that, because our Father is so loving, that if people repent, there is forgiveness. If they repent, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 16, and it shall come to pass if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be built in the midst of my people. In other words, if they get away from their idolatry, if they get away from their Baal worship, and if they repent and call upon my name, being our Heavenly Father, being Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, then I will forgive them, he's saying. And you know what? It's pointless. It's pointless to turn to Baal anyway. And you know, the title of the show, Let Baal Plead His Own Case, where does that come from? It comes from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. And I'm just going to read a few verses here. You had Gideon, who was chosen by God as the judge at that time. I'm going to start with verse 28. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. He got rid of all the idolatry. He got rid of the groves where these orgies took place. Verse 29, and they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. 30, then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die. Again, lovely Christian, godly people, right? Because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cast down the grove, cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. In other words, if Baal is upset by it, let Baal plead his own case. Which then we have in verse 32 that the Gideon also called Jerubbabel, meaning let Baal plead against him, or let Baal plead his own case. You can't work out your own salvation, and you're not going to solve your problems, and you're not going to earn blessings for yourself or for this nation by turning to nothingness, to emptiness. It does not make our Father, it does not make God happy. And you should want no part of it. You should be willing to speak out or to